3947.
It's 6:30, and meteorologist Ed Kieser will be along in 5 minutes with details on a forecast that has another beautiful weekend included in it. It's 49 degrees on Friends Plaza right now, and showing up this morning with a smile on his face, despite the fact his Cubs are 0-2 in the postseason playoffs. With AM 580 News, here's Jeff Bossert.
Thanks, Jay. Good morning. A University of Illinois student was hospitalized with bacterial meningitis this week, but the medical director at the campus health clinic says the student is expected to make a full recovery and that others who had close contact with the student have been identified and treated. Dr. David Lawrence of the U of I McKinley Health Center says the student was hospitalized Monday night as soon as the diagnosis came in. Lawrence says his staff got to work and identified about 30 people who had close contact with the student the last few days. He says they were able to contact all of them and provide preventative treatment.
Close contacts get a dose of an antibiotic that, in case they were exposed or they were the person who exposed the patient, it gets the bacteria out of their nose and throat, which decreases the likelihood that they would have a problem with meningitis or that they might pass it on to somebody else, although it's unlikely that any one particular person would ever do that.
Bacterial meningitis infects the fluid surrounding the spinal cord and brain. Lawrence says the disease can be fatal or maiming, but is usually treatable when diagnosed in time. A vaccine for the disease is available at the McKinley Center, and he recommends that all students receive it. Otherwise, he recommends standard precautions to avoid the spread of bacteria, including washing of hands and not sharing drink glasses or toothbrushes. McKinley says doctors and health authorities will be on the lookout for other possible cases of bacterial meningitis, but he says cases are usually isolated. The U of I saw two cases of the disease last February. Florence says that was the first instance of multiple cases since the 90s. Illinois Comptroller Dan Hines says in a new report the state finished the first 3 months of its budget year with a mountain of unpaid bills and record delays in payments. The report goes on to say the state's economy is still faltering and the backlog of bills and payment delays will increase. As of Tuesday, the report said more than $1.8 billion worth of bills were sitting in the comptroller's office that couldn't be paid because the state didn't have the money. A year ago at this time, Hines's office had nearly $1.4 billion in bills waiting to be paid. It's also taken longer to pay those bills once they reach Hines's office. The payment delay is 42 working days. That does not include the time state agencies hold on to bills before passing them on to the comptroller's office. A new group formed to support a Champaign County sales tax increase says the $17 million it would raise would help school districts immensely. The group called CLASS, or Citizens Looking at Supporting Schools, consists of school administrators, teachers, and business leaders. It's co-chaired by Farmer and Parkland College trustee Lynn Warfel, who says educators in need of new buildings and renovations would be able to concentrate on other priorities if voters passed a 1% hike in the county sales tax.
The way we fund that is very erratic, and so when school boards are trying to set budgets, they have a really difficult time with capital needs. This will, for the first time, infuse a stable flow of money, capital dollars, specifically for capital needs.
Supporters also point to promises from districts to reduce property tax levies. Co-chair Susan Abbott says a sales tax hike isn't the perfect solution, but she says people are impatient with efforts to boost direct state funding and reduce the need for property taxes to pay for schools. If voters pass the referendum in November, the Champaign County Board would have to enact this tax hike, and it could choose to reduce the amount. Warfel believes the board would enact of the full 1%, but district leaders would have to make that argument. Unlike every other House member, Congressman Jerry Weller will never be blamed for voting the wrong way on the rejected $700 billion bailout bill for dealing with the nation's economic crisis, but he will get a chance. The Illinois Republican was the only one of 434 representatives who did not vote at all Monday. The 435th member, Ohio Congressman Stephanie Tubbs Jones, died recently and her seat remains vacant. Weller's excuse for not being present was a family matter, according to a brief statement released by his office that offered no other details. The statement said Weller will be present at the next vote on the rescue plan. Weller has since returned to the Capitol, but both he and his spokesman haven't returned phone messages left in Washington and at his district office seeking further explanation. A Central Illinois man says Secretary of State Jesse White has given his permission to build a nativity scene outside the Capitol Rotunda in December. Daniel Zanona of Lincoln says the scene, which depicts the birth of Jesus, will celebrate Christmas and show religious displays that shouldn't be banned from public buildings. A spokesman for the Illinois Office of the American Civil Liberties Union says the agency is reviewing the state's policy on religious articles in state buildings. Zanona says he has an attorney in case there are legal challenges to the nativity scene, but hopes that doesn't happen. Our next report of AM 580 News is at 7:30 with headlines at 7:06. I'm Jeff Bossert.
This morning's weather forecast is made possible with support from your locally owned Central Illinois IGA supermarkets, including your IGA store in Rantoul and Catlin, and Jerry's IGA in Hoopston and the Round Barn Center in Champaign. Hometown proud and encouraging you to join them in supporting public radio.
It's 6:35, and our chief meteorologist, Ed Kieser, joins us for another in-depth look at weather. Morning, Ed.
Good morning, Jay. Well,
beautiful weekend coming up. Tomorrow we'll be at Market at the Square, and I want to mention that from 9 to 11, Doyle Moore, our chef in residence, will be there, along with Focus 580 host David Inge, so you can come meet them. And if you have any questions about anything you're buying and how to cook it or anything or prepare it for eating, Doyle can probably come up with a pretty decent idea for you.
Sounds like a good plan, and there's still a lot of produce that should be out there, and the weather should cooperate tomorrow. We're anticipating light wind, a good bit of sunshine.